raised up to that point, basically, hopefully, to encourage them to give some more.
Well, it is the last night. Can we now have a bit of a chart to reveal the finals? Let's see how much you've raised this season.
Yes, certainly. Well, do you like us to do it now?
Off we go.
Okay. Right, ladies and gentlemen, can we have a shush, please? A big one.
I'm so delighted to finally find out after all those nights, 75 nights of you lot being spoken over by us broadcasters. Delighted you've had your moment in the sun. Now, Sheila, you are the current chairman of the Promenaders Musical Charities. Who are you collecting for and why?
We're collecting for the Musicians Benevolent Fund, which is actually a bursary for a young musician, the Click Sergeant charity, and we sponsor two music therapists in two different hospitals, and the Ottokar Krauss Music Trust, which trains, for a change, different aspect, it trains the parents and the teachers in music therapy.
Fantastic stuff. Well, very worthwhile stuff going on here. David, you're a trustee. I want to know what makes you keep coming back to the Proms. What is so special? Why spend your whole summer here?
Oh, dear. Just a great combination of music. Also, there's a completely different social side here actually to anything else, and there is the charity collection. People have met long life friends and partners and so on here. So,
well, long may they continue to do so. Very well done to all of you. A fantastic sun rays. Have a great evening. Back to you, Sean.
Thank you, Susie. You look very nice down there among all those colourful people. Everyone is dressed up. Ah, now we have Malcolm Bennett and David Gabby putting a chaplet, a great laurel wreath around the bust of Sir Henry Wood, to whom thanks for beginning this wondrous festival all those years ago. They're polishing the top of his head. Very nice of them, because he does belong to the Royal Academy of Music. We're very grateful that he's allowed to live and reign here for the duration of the Proms before he goes back to the Royal Academy and Duke's Hall. So there is Sir Henry, looking very proud, pleased as punch as well he might. He wanted to make the best music available to the biggest possible audience, and it does exactly that at the Proms every year. Jerzy Belaklavik will be back, because the party's about to begin in earnest. A touch of creative raucousness, I'm afraid, even in the safety of your own home, to get us in the mood. First musical offering, a little unbridled, it's Chabrier Joyous March, and he did say it was idiotically comical. Jerzy has got balloons and festoons. I think he's got the idea. He's got his baton too, of course.
Thank you.
Well, there you are. It's the beginning of the second half, the anything can happen half of the last night of the BBC prom. More flags have appeared, more people dressed up, more balloons. That was the Joyeuse March by Chambéry, BBC Symphony Orchestra, and Jerzy Belaclavec. I never understood why it's not the March Joyeuse, but it is called Joyeuse March. And my joyous companion has transmogrified back up from the pit up to our little balcony.
I've been
nice
doing a little spot of flags.
Oh, yes.
Well,
here's Renée coming back. Renée Fleming is going to sing, I can tell you, her signature piece, Dvořák's Song of the Moon from Rusalka. The nymph who falls in love with the mortal and pleases the moon. And also Smetana's opera Dalibor first, but I know she's going to introduce it. All I can tell you is it's about a knight who held an uprising about brewing rights, honestly.
Okay, it's everything everybody said it would be. I can only say when I walked out tonight, I thought, I'm so glad I dressed up. Wow, you're so beautiful. I'm thrilled to be here. I just wanted to say on this particular day, as an American, I'm so grateful for your support. You're all so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Maestro Belhalovic and I had the great fortune almost a year ago to celebrate the commemoration of the Velvet Revolution in the Czech Republic with these two arias. And Dalibor is about heroism. Milada, like our character in Fidelio, is dressed as a man to go into prison and save the man she loves. Rusalka is dressed as a water nymph to go into town and get the prince she wants. And because it's opera, both pieces end so badly, they all die terrible deaths. So, but that's why we love it. I did one happy ending once and got letters of disappointment. So, oh, so exciting.
Thank you.
Well, I know she sings Rusalka frequently, the opera by Dvorak, but that song for the moon was pretty special. Here's someone coming to give her a prize. David Hemingway has been coming to the Palm since 1984. He's making a presentation if he can get in there to René Fleming. Do you think he's the guy who shouted, I love you, earlier on?
Well, I do know that many of René Fleming's fan club, they're called The Beautiful Boys. Many of them are here in attendance tonight.
I thought you said The Beautiful Boys for a minute. It didn't have to be, really.
voice.
Well, she's having a rapturous applause. It was very nice to hear her say something, actually, and she really meant it, I think, when she said, it's as good as I heard it would be. There's something with this audience that pushes people a notch up. I noticed at the beginning of the proms in Meistersinger and all those, that first fabulous weekend, Simone Boccanegra with Dominga, Mahler. It just raises everyone's game. I thought there's something very special.
And I have to say, after that opening weekend, I was slightly afeared that the proms team had set the bar a little high, because how do you then have a whole season of concerts that culminates in this?
Well, the whole season has been, of course, absolutely extraordinary, but that was worth it for that first weekend alone, with Bryn Terfel and Christopher Purvis and Placido Domingo and...
Nowhere else could you get all of that for £12.50. I thought it was the best value thing you could have bought yourself as a present all year, that opening
That would
weekend.
Have been the perfect present. Well, the party poppers are just starting to go gently. We're not quite into the party spirit yet. Young Maxim Risenov's coming back, who played the Tchaikovsky Rococo Variations so fabulously earlier. And he's playing a couple of pieces, the Prelude and the Gallop, for a suite for viola and small orchestra by Vaughan Williams. I have to say, I didn't know at all. It was written for Lionel Tertis. And Maxim said he couldn't find recordings of it anywhere. And, I mean, the music is available, obviously, but nobody really performs it.
Well, we've talked already a little bit about this sense of the last night of the proms having those little traces of the DNA of what this is all about this season. Parry, Vaughan Williams, a huge number of English composers so neglected for so long. And what the proms have done hugely is reinstate their music. Let us discover it.
Well, Vaughan Williams did struggle. He did finish at the end, I think, but he wrote to someone that's not finished, and I don't know if it ever will be. It was. We're getting just two movements, a prelude and a mad gallop. Well, it's an extraordinary pair of movements from Vaughan Williams' suite for viola and small orchestra, a prelude and a gallop. Oh, here's another presentation. Enona Cox is coming up to give something to Maxine. It's a lovely silver paper. I wonder what's in it. It's not a bottle, definitely. She trained as a singer. She's married to a fellow promenader, Lawrence. I think, Susie, you'd need to be if you come to everything here. This would need to be almost a way of life. I think it is for some people.
Yes, it's either that or divorce. But genuinely, so many people I've met over the years, I started promenading as a season ticket holder when I was a teenager. So many people I know have got together in the proms queue. So there you go, great advice for singles
yes.
out there.
I think just in case they come sprinting back, I think we just need to tell everyone what's happening next. We're not quite getting to the stage where we want you to sing, but it's coming up shortly, so be prepared to turn the volume up. We're getting more Wagner now, of course, talked about Meistersinger, which you presented at the beginning of the summer and I came to, which was Welsh National Opera, which is simply knockout.
Can you remember all those weeks and months ago? It does feel like an awful lot of water has passed under the bridge since then.
Another life. Well, we're getting Lohengrin now, another one of his great pieces. It's the bridal chorus. Everyone knows this. The number of people who've marched up or down the aisle for this, I should think, must be legion. But if brides knew what happened in the operatic context, they mightn't be quite so amused. But, of course, Elsa and the great saviour knight who has come are about to get married, but she simply cannot keep her mouth shut and is pushed into asking what his name is, the one thing she's not supposed to. And so off he goes, and the wedding never happens.
Well, Rene Fleming alluded to it earlier. Most people in opera don't end up happy. It's not always a good ending.
No, but he does, I suppose. He sails off on a swan, so I mean, that can't be too bad. How many people know, get a swan to come and collect them when things go wrong?
I'm lucky if I can manage to make it to the bus stop.
Well, that's what it is if you're a knight of the Holy Grail, of course, like Lohengrin is. But we don't meet Lohengrin, or indeed the lovely Elsa here. We have the bridal chorus, so you can pretend it's all terribly, terribly happy, even though we know it's going to end rather miserably. We're just waiting for Jerzy Bielaklawik to come back to conduct the BBC Singers and the BBC Symphony Chorus, who are together tonight with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, live here at the Royal Albert Hall on the last night of this fabulous season that has been BBC Proms 2010. Thank you. bridal chorus from Lohengrin by Wagner, the BBC Singers, the BBC Symphony Chorus, the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Jerzy Bielokławek, and the chorus director of the Symphony Chorus is Stephen Jackson. Wonderful sound. Gosh, weren't they just pingingly on the notes?
It was absolutely beautiful, but I did sit there thinking, if only every husband and wife knew what was to come after that fateful moment of bliss.
Well, we wish everyone well. If you're marching down the aisle, please continue to do so. I think we just need to have a little warning in case Jerzy comes back rather quickly, because it is, well, it's 50 years since the death of Oscar Hammerstein, half the partnership with Richard Rodgers, and the hall is going to sing, and all the proms in the park are going to sing, and I hope you're going to sing at home. Turn the volume up, go mad, it's You'll Never Walk Alone from Carousel, and Jerzy is going to, I think, to call out to the halls and everyone around the country to make sure they're, I think, ready and on form.
And this, of course, the kind of payoff for the Rodgers and Hammerstein night that John Wilson and his orchestra gave
incredible
earlier in the season, that a follow-up to their sensational MGM prom last year. It's part of this broadening ever wider and wider that the proms goes for every year now.
So, are you ready? Jerzy may not ring you at home, but he's calling out to everyone else. I can hear you. We're listening.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen here. It's wonderful view, it's wonderful picture here, and the atmosphere is excellent. I am very happy. I would like to, on your behalf, to greet and to say good evening to you all here in Albert Hall, Royal Albert Hall. Everybody who is listening to radio or TV or online all over the world, and of course also our brothers, venues, proms, last night proms in parks. And because we would like to establish a direct contact with the crowds in parks, we have devised such a sort of voice ping pong, and we would like to try whether this will work. I would like to ask you that we will call to the parks, hello parks, and the crowd in parks. I would like to ask to respond to our calls with hello hall. So let's please try. Let us please try now, first of all, the people from Northern Ireland who are gathered in Hillsborough Castle. So please say with me, hello Hillsborough. Hello Hillsborough. Next is Kurt Hall Dundee in Scotland. Hello, Dundee! Then there is Buell Hill Park in Salford. We will say hello, Salford. Hello! And Singleton Park, Swansea in Wales. Hello, Swansea! And finally, the crowd here across the street in Hyde Park. Hello, the Hyde Parker! The ping pong has worked very well. Earlier in this year's season, prom seasons, there was a wonderful Rodgers and Hammerstein prom. And from that came the idea that we would now try to create probably the largest choir in the world, with all people in parks and probably all listeners around the world. And we will sing all together their classic You'll Never Walk Alone. So please join.
Was quite something. I'm rather overcome. I was trying to sing along as well. How many thousands of people do you think were singing, Susie?
Well, there are 6,000 or so of us here, 30,000 across the road, plus all the other parts.
10,000, 6,000. I hope everybody at home was singing. I really hope so. Gosh, we're going straight into a little hornpipe, but not the one you know.
Thank you.
I was told that you like to clap to this, and I didn't hear anything, so probably we have to repeat it with your clapping, huh?
Yes, the Brommers can both clap and bob at the same time. Multi-skilling. Fantastic. What's your Fisher's Hornpipe? From the movie, isn't it? From Pirates of the Caribbean?
It is actually, yeah, a traditional hornpipe. The arrangement made by Nick Rain, but it did absolutely feature in Dead Man's Chest,
Dead
the
Man's
second
Chest.
Of the Pirates of the Caribbean series.
Ooh, my God, Rennie's here. Look, she's wearing a hat. I hope there are no Danes in the audience because we're going to celebrate Alfred's victory over them. Oh, she's got an extraordinary hat. Is that a Vivienne Westwood hat?
It is indeed.
It's going to be Rural Britannia, I think. That's not her note.
Thank you.
Chestnut, but it's a wonderful piece, and my goodness, it brings everyone to their feet and their voices absolutely to double forte. The crowd is going absolutely mad. I see all sorts of diverse people, more and more flags. Rennie with her hat and her very, very tiny American flag is now making her exit with her very long train.
Yes, in addition to the gorgeousness that she sported earlier, we now have an enormous voluptuous train, the Bismarck.
Well, she's gone, but I think, yes, Jerzy is staying, so I think we are going to have Paris, orchestrated by Elgar, and it is Jerusalem, but maybe he's going to say something first. No, I think it's straight on. Well, Jerusalem, Paris orchestrated by Elgar, an absolute staple diet with last night of the proms. I think Jerzy is going to get a little presentation from the promos. Yes, she's just been given his package from Maggie Greenstock, who started the prom in 1987. She's in the arena almost every night. Well, he's going to three cheers for Sir Henry in a moment. I said, well, speech first, Sir Henry.
That was lovely. You have a nice voices. Well done. I just would like at this moment to thank and say congratulations to thousands of artists who have taken part in this season, and of course, especially my dear colleagues from tonight, the magnificent René Fleming, and the and equally brilliant Maxim Ryshanov. And of course, big thanks deserve the resident ensembles of Proms, which are the BBC Singers. BBC Symphony Chorus, and BBC Symphony Orchestra. But nothing of this all would happen had it not been for Sir Henry Wood. He was the founder conductor back into 1895, and his bust presides here on stage, and he is looking with a stern eye to us and controlling us every night. But I think that he could be probably really happy if he would see how his vision to bring classical music to broadest possible audience has become reality, and then his festival is flourishing up now to days. And this is, I think we need so I would like now to invite you to join me with the traditional three hip hip hurrah to cheers to Sir Henry Wood. Hip hip hurrah! Hooray! Hip hip
hooray!
Hip hip
hooray!
Thank you. It has been a record year for Proms audiences. I think that the official statistic will be counted later, but we know now that it was one of the most successful Proms season. And we would like to thank you, audiences, for your continuous support and interest, and especially, of course, our Promers, who are who are most incredible audience, and very attentive and wonderful. Yeah, and not only that, but you are excellent with your support and with your efforts by collecting money for the musical charities. In this year, the amount has reached £86,700, and. And it might still rise tonight, for instance. And so I would like to finish just with one thought that actually the music for us all is something which even in difficult times, or I would say actually especially in difficult times, is the safe haven for all of us, is our support, is giving us consolation, is giving us inspiration. And I think that the fact that these big audiences were coming this year to proms underlines this idea, and I would say that it's hardly any other proof how important music for the life of people is, and how strong ability it has bringing people together. It was now today this our ping pong was one of example. So. So let me finish with the look forward into the 2011. I will be back here with my orchestra on July 15th to open 117th season of proms, and I hope you will join all of us, all of you. You will join us, and we are looking forward to it very much. Thank you.
Well, at the first performance of the Proms in 1901 of Elgar's Pomp and Sax March No. 1, the audience rose and yelled. They're still doing it. Will it have the desired effect? There you are, Perseverance gets a reprise. Another verse of Pomp and Circumstance March No. 1. It is extraordinary. This whole hall actually was just humming with sound.
People stomping their feet, people bobbing up and down. So many flags I can hardly see over the person in front of his shoulder. Everybody just going crazy here.
And you know, there are more flags and more. I mean, that's a great thing, is to see the variety of flags in all nations. All colours, shapes and religious sizes of people are here tonight, and you know, this may be sound like an old imperial hymn, but it gets everybody together, and there's a fantastic cathartic experience in singing together and being part of this. We'll be going shortly, but not yet. The national anthem was arranged by Benjamin Britten. Apparently when it opened Snape Maltings in 1967, the Queen was very affected, and as she said, I have heard it once or twice. national anthem as arranged by Benjamin Britten. Choir singing beautifully, and then us all joining in. It means it's the end of another prom season.
I know, I can't quite believe that we're at number 76.
76 not out. It's been a sensational season. I think, as Yuji was saying, in times of fiscal darkness and peculiarity, people maybe rediscover the things that really make us happy.
And a testament to what this season means, that it's a combination of incredibly moving musical experience, a good old knees up, a great end of term party.
Well, isn't it? I think people have got to let off steam, especially the promers who've been coming here so often and paying so much attention. There's nothing like it anywhere else. We're going to hold hands in a minute, you know. It's a Scottish tradition. You hold hands and sing Auld Lang Syne.
I've been waiting for this all evening.
I know. I don't know whether Yoshi's going to go straight into it or not. I think he might. So, good night from us. Thank you for being with us. It's been wonderful.
And we look forward to seeing you next prom season.
Indeed. Oh, he's still taking bows. So, it's going to be Auld Lang Syne. If you feel like joining in at home, please do. We've had a wonderful season. There's been marvellous music. This has been a fantastic night, as ever. And Yoshi's going off again. Where's he going? Oh, he's not doing Auld Lang Syne. I forgot. How could I forget? We have to do it ourselves. Are you ready to conduct, Susie? It'll just start. Out of the ether of expectation.
And I imagine a lot of stomping of feet.
A lot of stomping, and I think maybe...
There are men here in pit helmets,
he's been prevailed
men in dinner
upon
jackets,
to come back.
And everything in between.
He's coming out to take another bow. Thank you to the promise of my carnation, which has lasted surprisingly well.
Still looking
nice,
red
dark
and
red.
Rosy.
Carnation, I shall place it there on the desk as a tribute. He's gesturing to all in the orchestra. A pent-up feeling and excitement everybody has here, not just about tonight, but about the whole season. And he's waving goodbye. Do you think he means it?
We shall have to see.
Yeah, well, he's blown a kiss to the orchestra. He's back through that gladiatorial little journey backstage. So the orchestra will erupt, I hope, into Auld Lang Syne. The promise.
I see Stephen Bryant is preparing.
So it definitely is good night from us. Good night.
Good night. A very good evening to you all.
Auld Lang Syne bringing to an end the last night of the proms for this year. The presenters at the Royal Albert Hall were Susie Klein and Sean Rafferty. And you can hear that concert again on the BBC iPlayer. And indeed, all the concerts given in the last 7 days will be there. Go to bbc.co.uk and look for iPlayer at the top of the page. If you'd like to see tonight's programme book, you can do so on the proms website at bbc.co.uk/proms. Well, tonight we've heard music by a selection of British composers, Jonathan Dove, Parry, Arne, Elgar and Vaughan Williams. And as there's some time before Here and Now at 11 o'clock, here's more music by Ralph Vaughan Williams. This is the English Folk Song Suite, arranged by Gordon Jacob. Thank you. Vaughan Williams' Folk Song Suite, arranged by Gordon Jacob and played there by the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sir Adrian Bolt. Well, we heard the Royal Albert Hall organ tonight, but not on its own, so to remedy that, here's Simon Preston playing The Brothers Gershwin.
Thank you.
The Brothers Gershwin, an arrangement by Howard Cable, played on the organ of the Royal Albert Hall by Simon Preston.
Tormented genius or malicious drunk?
Am I endowed with a unique and awesome gift? My God, yes, I'm afraid so.
Never anything more than a mediocre artist. At best, believe me, I should know, shouldn't I?
He was a convoluted man.
Miracle worker or charlatan?
Am I a con man? Which, of course, was nonsense. I think.
Three characters in four monologues of shifting memories.
The fantastic...
Francis Hardy.
Faith healer.
Drama on Three presents Brian Friel's mesmerising play about faith, art and love. Performed by Owen Rowe, Leah Williams and Phil Daniels.
Let's just say I did it because I could do it.
Such a twisted man.
Just a little bit thoughtless.
Faith Healer. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
And looking ahead to Monday evening, our performance on Three comes from the Edinburgh Festival. Petra Trelawney presents John Adams' oratorio El Niño, which retells the nativity story recorded at this year's festival. John Adams revisits the subject most famously rendered in music by Handel in Messiah, giving the story a 21st century treatment with a female perspective and adding texts from medieval mystery plays and from Spanish poetry. El Niño was written to celebrate the new millennium, and it's a radiantly joyful large-scale work in two parts with a vocal cast of three soloists, a countertenor trio, adult and children's choruses and orchestra, and an electronic sound environment. James Conlon conducts, and that's on Monday evening. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. Now, at a little after 11 o'clock, it's time for Here and Now, our weekly look at the world of new music in performance. This week, the programme comes from the Ruhr area of northwest Germany, as the region celebrates its status as European Capital of Culture. Here's Sarah Moore-Peach.
The city of Witten in the industrial heartland of Germany has an annual festival of new chamber music, which is up there with Darmstadt and Donaueschingen for anyone interested in contemporary music. It's run by West German Radio, and tonight on Here and Now, we're bringing you five premieres from the 2010 festival. This year was particularly special because the whole area around Witten, the Ruhrgebiet, is this year's European Capital of Culture. It's a vast industrial conurbation which has benefited from 30-odd years of generous arts provision, public sculpture and regeneration projects. So I've come to the Ruhr to meet two people. One of them is the American conductor Stephen Sloan, who's been artistic director of all of the Capital of Culture celebrations here. And the other is the local composer Gerhard Stäbler. In 1995, he turned a huge industrial factory complex into a concert venue, and he's gone on since then to create and realise similar ideas all over the Ruhr area, from the harbour to the gasometers. Well, here's a great musical opening to our programme, one of the five Witten premieres. It's a tour de force for eight singers by the Hungarian-born composer Adriana Hölszky, who depicts the constellation of Orion in music which falls somewhere between berio and beatbox. Brilliantly performed by members of the Nova Vocal Ensemble under Beat Führer at the Witten Festival, this is the world premiere of The Dogs of Orion by Adriana Hölszky.
Yeah.
The Dogs of Orion, written last year by Adriana Holsky, Beat Führer conducting 8 singers of the Nova Vocal Ensemble in its world premiere. That was recorded this April in the Johanneskirche in Witten as part of the German city's Contemporary Chamber Music Festival. Well, here I am in the Ruhrgebiet. I've come to stay in Mülheim, west of Witten, and driving here from Düsseldorf Airport, we've seen quite a lot of industrial sprawl, warehouses and working power stations, but it doesn't feel like a forgotten landscape, as I was expecting. There's no real sense of the lost industry of rusting steel factories and coal mines that closed in the 70s and 80s. Instead, it all feels rather well off and well manicured. So I suppose really this is an area where regeneration has worked. Well, before I go to meet a couple of locals, here's our second highlight from the Witten Festival, a new piece by Enno Popper, who's been featured at the Huddersfield Festival for the last couple of years. West German Radio, which runs the Witten Festival, commissioned this piece for Klangforum Wien. And now listening to this on the radio, you're in quite a privileged position because you can't see the conductor. Enno Popper writes a rather witty programme note addressed to the kind of listener who reads programme notes during a concert, asking, "Why? Look at the musicians." But he says, "Don't look at the conductor, because the conductor's beat is not the heartbeat of the music." This ensemble piece is called Speicher 1, or Memory 1, as in the memory of a computer. Enno Popper defines the piece as the beginning of a process. Even in the memory, he writes, things are constantly falling into disorder.
Thank you. Thank you.